Welcome, Edgewater people, and all of our camp people. We've got an energized group here, excited to share what happened at youth camp and what God has done, what has God been doing in the younger generations. This service is a little different format because we're basically going to kind of walk you through some of the things that we learned at youth camp. Some of the spiritual truths and just the experiences and testimonies. This is one of my favorite things to do in church, is to hear how God has moved in an individual's life. It's not just like theory or education. It's how is the Holy Spirit moving you and me? And that is, there's nothing more exciting to me than to hear that personal experience. So let's lift it to God in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for how you've been working. You've been working even before youth camp and after. You've been working in our hearts. And sometimes it takes these more sort of emotionally high moments to just see all that you've done. You know, sometimes you shake the tree for all the fruit to fall out. And that's exciting to see that harvest. And Lord, I just pray, I just want to say thank you and just continue to bless those who make all this stuff possible, who are behind the scenes and helping to usher people into your presence, to help help your kingdom be realized in the individual lives, including my own. So just thank you so much, Lord, and I just give this service as a fragrant offering to you. I hope that it pleases you, and I thank you so much for providing so generously for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And we combine our two youth groups into one, and we work together. It's super fun. So we actually had students from Hillside come to camp that don't regularly come to youth group, and people got to meet them and connect with them. That was really cool. But we also had another church out in Concord, Sanctuary Ministries. Their youth leader was not able to bring students to camp, so they asked Ezra if they could partner with our leaders and send kids to camp kind of under the Edgewater umbrella. So we had students that came to camp that we'd literally never met before, but they were Edgewater students. So we had to kind of find these kids and introduce ourselves. And it was really a great time because I know Zion was a counselor for some of them. And we got home Friday, not this past week, but the week before. And then already that Sunday, they were over at our house and she took them out for boba. So there was a lot of deep connections that were made, a lot of friendships formed. I think some of them got home from camp and actually stayed at our house a whole nother night because they didn't have enough time together, I guess, the entire week, 24 hours a day. So there's a lot of deep friendships, a lot of love for each other. So it was a really great week, and seeing the different people talk about like what impacted them, and the pastor who came and spoke, Pastor Tori, she actually is a professor at Bartlesville Wesleyan College, or Oklahoma Wesleyan. She's with the Wesleyan Church, and she's a pastor out there and works at one of the colleges. She came and spoke. Absolutely amazing to hear her speak life into the kids. She ran us through Jonah, which Ezra's going to talk to us about in a little bit.
So there's a lot of stuff that we covered in camp. There was a theme that was called restoration. And we walked through four chapters of the book of Jonah. Jonah is not your typical heroic type in the Bible, you know? There's a lot of people that you can kind of look up to and say, like, you know, Abraham and Moses, although they had their flaws too. But Jonah was kind of like sort of infamous in some ways. But despite him kind of making all the wrong decisions as far as how to respond to God, how to obey to God, that kind of stuff, he ran the opposite way. God still used Jonah's obedience, how very little it was, to do his will. And he didn't give up on Jonah. He kept giving him, you know, other chances. And so that's one of the things that Pastor Tori was walking us through this week. Basically finding someone that we can kind of connect with and say, like, well, if God can use Jonah, who ran the opposite direction, hated the people that he was called to deliver this message to, and God still saved like a whole you know, nation, basically, then certainly God can use me. And so, anyways, Tori did it so much better. I want to say, but there was so much. I was writing so many notes, and I was just really loved the way that she like engaged everybody. Karen was talking about how we read this passage where Jonah is in the ship, and the waves are crashing, and they're wondering whether the ship is going to sink. And Tori asks everyone, like, on this side of the room, you're hitting your lap like this. You're kind of doing this sound. And the other side, you're kind of, what is it, clapping? And so you're basically making this like storm kind of sound as she's reading the passage. And then the minute where it says, and then the storm, you know, stopped. You know, then everyone stops. And she goes to that. So we kind of rehearsed that. So it was kind of this dramatic sort of experiential sort of thing that gives you that sense that this is not just like some story that you just kind of just glaze over, but there was actually an actual like visceral moment of like from chaos to peace. And we have those experiences sometimes. And so when talking to students, you know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, chaos that they can't control. And finding that peace is definitely something that a lot of people need help, you know, getting to, you know, us included as the older grown-up types. There's a couple, one of the practices that we have at camp, one of the things I love about camp is that it's not just like a chance to learn some things, but it's a chance to practice some things, some ways of living together in community. It's those that sort of sense that you get where you're just like, man, I just love living this way. Why does camp have to be so short? Why can't I just live this way forever? People are like thinking in their minds, you know, how can I just make this something that just is how I always live? But God prepares us in a way so that we can go out and go into the uncomfortable situations and minister. So one of the things in the Monday rally, the point was restoration begins in you, and restoration is personal. So that's one. If you want to fill out notes with us, restoration is personal. God wants to do something in you before he works through you. She said that you are either moving to God or you're moving away from God. When you think about the gears in a car, you know, you've got your park, you've got your reverse, you've got neutral, you've got drive, you've got 1, 2, and 3. Some of you guys have more. But she's like, but with your spiritual formation, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards. There is no like middle ground where you're just kind of like lingering somewhere in sort of a middle spot. So if you think you're not moving, you're probably moving backwards. And so that's the challenge. You know, restoration is personal. It's something that we have to know like where we're at and where we're moving, because we're not staying still. And God loves you too much to leave you where your rebellion takes you. And that's kind of something we glean from the story of Jonah. And restoration happens when you return to God. And there's a challenge. There's always some like sort of thing you can have in your hand, you know, with the students that Tori would challenge us to. So she put all this chalk on the floor in front of the stage and challenged everybody. They wanted to take a piece of chalk and go outside and draw a chalk circle on the ground and have a business meeting with God. Just sit down in that circle and say, this is my personal time to say, hey, how am I doing with you right now, God? What's the thing that I need to make a decision about? Where am I at? Because you might be able to kind of fool others about stuff, but not so with yourself and God. You know where you're at. It's not a show. This is real life. In the Tuesday rally, we learned that restoration is costly. That's number 2 on your list. She asked, what do you do when God's plan doesn't mesh with my plan? Restoration costs us control. That's a little harder thing to give up as a sacrifice for some of us than others. The greatest obstacle of restoration is not rebellion, it's control. There's a lot of things that Tori said that were just like, oh, that's, I was writing so many things down. She wrote, God can do more with my surrender than I can ever do with my control. Sometimes we think we are doing something great when we hold on to this, but with my surrender, way more than I can do with my control. This isn't on the slide, but Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And then she talks about this like circle about obedience, knowing, loving, and trusting. This is like a cycle that we go through. And you kind of say like, where are, am I on the circle? And then I kind of have a sense of what's next. If I'm like, okay, now I know God, the next step is to love. Now when I've experienced that love, it's a matter of building trust. And when I understand that trust, then I need to obey. You're kind of just going through that all through life. That's just kind of the way things work. And she talked about restoration's costs. It costs us comfort. So restoration is costly. And you'll notice the little graphic that Karen included on the back on the notes here. You might be curious about it. You're like, ooh, now I'm hungry because I see bacon and eggs on there. But she asks, you know, bacon and eggs, for a chicken, giving up an egg, it's something. You're giving something up. But the chicken's still alive to lay another egg. For a pig to give up bacon, that's a bigger sacrifice, you know? Bacon, you know, bacon doesn't just, like, come out like a receipt printer from a pig. Another illustration. You're all just imagining where would it come out. Okay. I can't enjoy bacon anymore. Okay, so, but restoration is costly, and she gave us these little stickers that said bacon and egg, just for us to remember. I see a lot of students put the bacon and egg sticker on the back of their smartphones just to remind them that that revival starts with us. You know, bacon, to have bacon, you have to sacrifice your life. To have an egg, you sacrifice your comfort. Some of us are, you know, like, if you're having a hard time sacrificing your comfort, you've got a little bit longer way to go to get to the I'm ready to sacrifice my life, if God calls me to, of course. And Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He's showed that love. That's our Tuesday rally. In the Wednesday rally, we learned the third point, restoration is contagious. Failure is not final. God can work through imperfect people, thank God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a lot of people for him to work through, I guess. Just Jesus. Restoration is not meant to stop with you. Some of us, like, in an effort, there's like been a Christian tradition to emphasize the nature of our personal relationship with Jesus. And yes, that's a thing. But don't make it so personal that we let it end with us. Because in that Thursday rally, we are challenged to share our faith and to think about who is on the other side of my obedience. That was a really big, this is like the number one thing for me, impactful-wise. Was this talk, because she talked about how God honors obedience, even reluctant obedience, but kind of the end place of this point was saying that with Jonah, he really didn't want to talk to these Ninevites. He hated them. He had reason to. It's not like just out of nowhere. They had done a lot of harm to his people, but there was in his reluctance, God still worked through him because God had a plan. Jonah didn't want, you know, all this stuff to happen. But God can do more with our obedience, as Tori said earlier, than we can do with our control. And obedience is up to us, but the outcome is up to God. Thank God for that, because sometimes you go through all this work, you try to do this stuff, and it doesn't turn out the way you had hoped. It's more stressful when you feel like it all depends on you, because then that outcome, that the circumstances are going to like give you an emotional high, or they'll be devastating to you. And God hasn't designed us to live that way. He says, I've got this. When Jesus says, my yoke is light, basically something, let's trade. How does it go? Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for also reading the Bible. Obedience has a ripple effect. I really like sometimes in some of our logos where the Edgewater is a drop of water kind of logo. And I like to think of that drop like, yeah, that's great. That's refreshing to think about that water. But where's the ripple effect of that drop when it hits that pond? God, if God is an ocean, where is it moving? Where are the waves moving from our obedience? Obedience has a ripple effect. And so who is on the other side of your obedience is the challenging question for this third point. And Tori spread out these tiny little dominoes on the floor. And she also had an illustration where she had the domino. She's like, this first domino, if I push it over, like, does it knock over all the dominoes? And the answer is no. It only knocks over the first domino. It's not responsible for knocking over all the dominoes. And so with us, we just have a certain amount of influence that our obedience has, and it's up to God to see how that all plays out. And so students and leaders were challenged to come up and grab a domino, and there's a blank side on the other side, and we take a Sharpie, and we would write the name of who is on the other side of our obedience. There's someone out there. I think a lot of people have someone that's a burden on their heart. They're like, man, I really want God to reach this person. I want the Holy Spirit to get to this person. And they feel impenetrable to me. My faith is limited, but I'm so heartbroken to think about this person. And so I'm writing them on this domino and keeping it in my pocket sort of as a little memento to remember and to pray for this person. And that can be kind of a little bit, emotionally moving when you think about those people that you, when you have the joy in your heart and you know what God's done for you, and just to see someone suffering and not having that and not understanding the depth of the joy that you can have in Jesus, the peace that comes with, that passes understanding. So that was a big one for me, that third point. But there's a fourth point, which is restoration is unstoppable. I really love when we were singing that Unstoppable God song. Just that just reminded me of that point and brought me back to it. Because we don't just lose hope. We don't just say like, oh, I know it's up to God, but why doesn't he do it right now? Why can't he just work quicker? How many of us have prayed, God, can you just please do this faster? Yeah. But God's mission is bigger than me. And the good news is you're wrestling, with your faith, with your doubts, all that kind of stuff. That does not scare God. He's a big God. He can handle it. And he wants us to approach him and not run away. The best news is your wrestling doesn't stop God. God refuses to give up on his mission. Nothing can stop the mission of God. God wants you to participate in his mission. And imperfection does not equal disqualification. So a lot of us might stop and say, like, oh, I feel like I should, but I'm not qualified. I'm not good. How many of you guys have read the passage about Moses when God says, I want you to speak? And Moses is like, I am, not good with talking. Maybe you can send somebody else. To be speaking face to face with God. Like, I've had some impressions from God. But I haven't had the burning bush experience that Moses has had. That startling, no doubt, God is right here. Take your sandals off kind of thing. I haven't had that kind of visceral, like, God is in the room, I'm shaking in my boots kind of feeling. Well, maybe once at youth camp. But it wasn't like that verbal sort of interchange. And our imperfections are not disqualifying. God is so happy to use imperfect vessels to do his message because he just shines that much more glory through that. If we were all like professional, like the Olympic athletes of the spiritual realm, and we accomplished something, people wouldn't be surprised. They'd be like, oh, of course, they're professionals. But when God uses an imperfect, weak, obviously flawed individual and does something that just blows it out of the water, then you're like, something just happened there and it wasn't this guy. I know it wasn't this guy. So imperfect people are not disqualified from God's unstoppable mission. And the question in Thursday is, will you participate? If God's calling you, what is he calling you to? And so the challenge from Tori was for, was it four groups or was it three groups? I think it was three. Yeah, three groups. The first group she asked was if God has called you into a full-time vocational ministry position as a pastor. And if that's you, then come up. And so some students came up and leaders came around and they prayed for them. Karen took a photo. Gotta keep your notes. Because you want to follow up with people. The second group was, has God called you to like mission work? And not just like a 1 or 2 week mission to some other country. Like that has a value. But if he's called you into missions, this is like, I am making this my home. I am embedding myself in the culture. This is my life, and I'm going to need support from other people to continue to survive and do this ministry. Like, I'm living here. And there's a group of kids and students that came up for that. I really liked the way that Tori like defined terms. It wasn't just like this vague kind of thing. And the third group, she challenged people with saying, like, if God has called you into a vocation in the marketplace, and he wants you to serve him through that. If you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, something like that, you're going to do that to the glory of God, and you're going to use that as your platform, as well as a place to be able to support the mission. So she's like, that second group, they're going to need all of you guys. There's a lot more of people in this marketplace that you can't have someone doing vocational ministry as a pastor if you don't have people on this other side working in the marketplace and doing that kind of stuff and being faithful in their place. So we all have our place. And I really loved that it pretty much covered, you know, 99.9% of the whole room. It was a very moving time. And the thing that she gave people, that she spread out on the carpet in front of the stage, was pennies. She says in their college, you take a penny and you say, on the back side of it says 1 cent. And so she says, are you 1 cent? If you're 1 cent, this is your reminder to keep this in your pocket and say, like, if you are one who is sent, then this is your reminder to keep with you, your little memento, to think about that. Is it downloading? Okay, so there's something I want to share. Angelina, are you ready to share a passage that you memorized? There was a lot of points offered for dominating in competitions and in a lot of these team competitions to kind of get teams together. But kind of the unkept camp secret is that nothing beats the memorization of Scripture. And so there were some teams that really, they got up to like 6 million points, which I think is like, it was quite a spread. But you could win all the games and not memorize Scripture and then have another team that just memorized, like, you know, whole chapters and recited them to their counselor and then recited them to Cindy or to Brooke, the other. Come on up. So Angelina's one of the people who definitely got some scripture memorized. What's the passage that you're going to be reciting, Angelina?
Romans 5:1-7.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to try. I'm not that good. Okay. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You are Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. We've also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God, and not only that, but we boast in our afflictions, because we know that afflictions produces endurance, endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Angelina. And it's so hard to come up in front of people to do this. It kind of compounds the challenge.
If you are somebody who memorized. If you're somebody back there who memorized a long or a chapter, could you just stand up? Like a long, go ahead. Yeah, here too. Yeah, stand up. Where's Olivia? I know Olivia is too. So, yeah. I don't know how their brains work or what kind of water they're drinking, but my brain does not hold on to things as strongly as they do. So to me, it's really impressive and such an important thing to have scripture, because in the future, we may not always have access to the Word of God. And so having it written on our heart and stored in our minds, knowing what scripture is, it's so vital and so important, especially the world changes and we're going to get mixed messages. But when you have the Word of God in your heart, on your mind, and you know what it says, you can test the spirits. Amen. And you can know what is right. You know what is good because you have that Word stored in you. And so it's wonder why it's worth so many points, because that is such a valuable, it's more valuable than winning a game. You know what I mean? It's having the Word of God in your mind, you know, and you can live it out. It's right there on the tip of your tongue. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, a verse that comes to mind is, you know, when Paul says for winning, you know, for physical training is of some value, but how much more, you know, the things of God. How it goes. I got to work on my memorization as well. So there's also these time alone with God things that we do. There were three daily verses. So this is kind of when I was a camper, I would just focus on that one verse for the day. For my 5,000 points for that. So next we're going to, so we have some interviews. In the past, I've tried to like check with students after camp and say, hey, can I get you? And it's a little harder to do. But this time I actually was able to go on the last day of camp and just find everybody and ask them a question about their camp experience. And I think it's kind of a fun thing to watch.
If you had to summarize your week at camp, how would you describe it?
Campalicious. It was holy.
If you had to describe camp, how would you do it this week?
It was awesome to the rainbows.
How was your week at camp?
Good.
What would you say is something you don't want to forget about this week?
That I went to camp.
Like my favorite part?
Yes.
I don't know, I liked it all. It was all good.
How was your week?
It was amazing.
If you were to think of an experience or something you learned that you don't want to forget this week, what would that be?
That God loves me and I'm good enough for him no matter what I do.
Would you like to come to camp next year?
Yes, I'm definitely coming.
What's something that you don't want to forget that happened this week?
All the baptisms. It was very beautiful. The Holy Spirit was moving.
Did you have a good week?
No. Yeah.
What's something that happened this week that you'd not like to forget?
I would not like to forget. I think when my friends got baptized.
Is there something that happened this week that you don't want to forget?
Yes.
What's that?
Who is on the other side of my obedience and the importance of stepping into obedience into what the Lord is calling me to.
How was your week?
I had a wonderful, fantastic week.
And what's something that you don't want to forget that happened this week?
Ooh, my best friend was baptized and I was so happy.
Is there something that happened this week you don't want to forget?
Me getting baptized.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was incredible.
What's something that you learned or something that happened this week that you don't want to forget?
Something I don't want to forget is I got baptized.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa.
How was your week?
Very exciting.
What's something you don't want to ever forget that happened this week?
Seeing my friends again, definitely. Like, that was, like, such a big, like, moment. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm actually coming. And then, like, definitely the message of God. So.
How was your week?
It was good.
Is there something that happened or something you learned that you don't want to forget this week?
Let's go to the tab.
Oh. Just, like, that you always, always need Jesus, even in your daily life, even when it's hard.
How was your week?
It was pretty good.
And is there something you don't want to forget that happened this week?
Something I don't want to forget is seeing Carrie after so long and crying with her to rest on us.
Is there something that happened this week that you never want to forget?
Giving my testimony to everybody.
Why do I only get 4 pictures?
Did you feel encouraged after that? Like, just people's feedback?
I feel locked in. Hello.
How was your week?
It was good.
Is there something that you don't want to forget that happened this week?
I think the baptism meeting these people. Really great.
How was your week?
Good.
And what's something that you learned or something that you just don't want to forget for this week?
Meeting this dude.
Yeah, it was super fun hanging out with him.
Awesome. New friends. Tell me, how was your week?
It was good. It was very good.
Is there something you learned or something that you remember that you don't want to forget that happened this week?
Just like making friends and stuff. That was pretty awesome.
Awesome. You think you're going to be wanting to come back next
year? Oh, yeah.
Year?
Definitely right. Want to come back.
How was your week?
Very, very good.
So what is an experience or decision that you remember this week that you don't want to forget?
Probably like going up to like the front of the worship.
Yeah. How was your week?
It was good.
What's something that you don't want to forget from this week?
I would say going up from to the front of the worship too and singing along
in the games. Yeah. You think you want to come back next year?
Yes.
How about you?
Definitely.
So tell me, overall, how would you say your week was?
Good.
And is there something that you definitely don't want to forget that happened this week?
Sleep.
Do you want to come back next year?
To sleep.
Do you not get sleep at home? So overall, how would you say this week was for you?
It was fun.
It's fun. What's a decision you made or an experience you had that you never want to forget?
Learning more about getting baptized.
Awesome. Cool. So you're looking forward to that. You have a plan for that.
Yep.
Yeah. And do you want to come back next year?
Yes.
Awesome. How was your week?
My week was great.
Cool.
First time at this camp. Love it.
And if I were to ask you, what's one thing that happened this week that you don't ever want to forget?
Oh, that's so good. I think one thing that happened would be just like the quality time. I love the quality time. I've been able to hang out with both of my best friends for months, like at a time. So it's just the quality. I just love.
Cool.
Won't forget it.
24/7.
Yes.
All right. What's something you don't want to forget happened this week?
I would say the youth and how just seeing how they're trying to reach out to God and they know that they need something. It reminded me of when I know I needed God, but seeing them like that, like about hunger to wanting God, you know, it always sparks hunger in other people. And I think that is just so beautiful. And our pastor or the person who's speaking, Tori, just what a reminder of like why we are baptized, why we are following God, and then what tools we use to pursue God, because it's not an easy journey. It is like the hardest part of our life, but choosing God every day and surrendering everything to Him is just the best part of your day.
Kamaya, how about you? Anything exciting happening with you this week?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Something you don't want to forget?
Something that I don't want to forget is just how the Lord really met me in just confirming my calling into ministry and to be a pastor, and just really kind of healing that sense of unworthiness and kind of like uncertainty I had in pursuing ministry and whether like women could even be in ministry. And I feel like the Lord really just met me in that, and it's something I'm going to remember forever.
What's one thing that you... Oh, shucks, I don't remember the question.
What's one thing that you won't forget from camp?
Yeah.
Is so, that the gist of it?
Something I don't want to forget from camp...
Great.
Is just that service when Tori invited different groups of people up
so
to make... To basically, like, say, like, this is where I am with God. This is what I feel God is calling me to.
That's so good.
And that she didn't really, like, leave anybody out.
Yeah.
Because I know that I've been called into ministry within my workplace, and I've had some friction in the past with people saying like, no, if you're called into ministry, you gotta just like do nothing else but that. And I was like, well, where do I fit in? And so I've been doing, you know, volunteer, you know, ministry, youth ministry for more than 20 years, and I definitely feel called. And that just because I didn't know where I fit before doesn't change the fact that God's been working with me and through me. So I don't want to forget that. I just, it was a super encouraging thing to just see like the whole room just move.
So good.
The different parts. It's like, okay. Yeah. So so that was super encouraging, as well as just seeing it, you know, the baptism. Those never get old. Just seeing people like making that, seeing the look in people's faces. That emotional, you know, just change, yeah. Where it's like they realize the gravity of the decision they've made, and that is priceless.
And because we changed up some of the order of our service, I want to cover a couple things, just the daily memory verse. So if I could get three students that are willing to come up and recite a daily memory verse. And if your memory has faded, I'll let you read it from the talk book, so that's fine.
Do you want to tell them what a talk book is?
So the talk book, this is a time, every morning, we will have time alone with God, where after a morning session, some worship and that sort of stuff, they'll be sent out to the wilderness, somewhere just outside of the room there. To kind of sit by themselves, to not talk to each other, and to walk through this little short devotional where you're welcome to camp, you're reading a passage, you're getting some prompt questions you can write in your talk book, kind of participate. And then the challenge that you have at the end of that talk, and then with your remaining time during the talk time, is to work on a memory verse. The first day was Matthew 11:29. Does anyone remember Matthew 11:29? It starts with, take my yoke. Would somebody be willing to come up here and read it so that it's somebody else's voice into this microphone? Matthew 11:29. All right. And you can get the second one.
Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Thank you, Ollie. Yeah, which one was that? Go for it.
Okay, so it was Psalm 139:23, and it was, search me, God, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts.
Thank you. And then the third talk was 1 Peter 4:8. Anyone remember that one? Someone willing to come up and read it for us? Go for it, Olivia. 1 Peter 4:8.
Above all, love each other, because love covers a multitude of sins deeply. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins.
Thanks, Olivia. And so there's a lot of stuff in there. There's plenty of things you can ask us about. And we'll also have that service with potluck at Hillside. We might have some other students there as well. But we've got a slideshow that Karen's prepared. It also includes some baptism videos, so it's always a highlight for me to see. I don't think I've seen the baptism video or the slideshow before. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Nobody's seen the slideshow.
Here we go. That's a hard one to speak after, but yeah, I just want to say thanks so much for your support, your prayers. All the stuff that we crammed into one service was something that students and us got to marinate in for a whole week, and that's super impactful to do that in community. So praise God for all that He's done, for sure. And let's lift up, while they're playing the last worship song, if you have your prayer and communication card filled out, put that in the basket when it goes by. And Lord, thank you so much for providing for the needs of Edgewater and this youth ministry. And continue to do your work in Pittsburgh and Santa Cruz and beyond to the ends of the earth. So thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness, even with our imperfection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, as we go out this week, actually, let me preface that with saying thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love and your support, for your generosity. It really is impactful. The lives of many, many people were changed that week at camp, and I think that it will have that ripple effect. It's not just their lives that were impacted. It's the lives of many, many, many future generations to come are impacted. So your prayers and your generosity getting these students to camp, even the leaders, it's very meaningful, and it goes a very long way, and we are truly, truly grateful. So as you go out this week and you have opportunities to share the love of Jesus to others, let us all have hearts open and willing to be obedient to where God is calling us, and thinking about who's on the other side of our obedience and having that ripple effect in this world. And may all glory be to God. Amen.